Well, good morning. And happy almost New Year to you. It is New Year's Eve. So as we look back on 2017, it's been, for the Fountain, it has been a great year. It's been a tough year. We've had our challenges, but it has been a great year. It's hard to believe when you think about it that it's just been over a short year since we first set out upon this journey as the Fountain. Our first Sunday together as one church body united from two churches was on January 15th, right? 15th. That's not been long ago. But the journey actually began a few months prior to that as God brought us together and imparted a vision to Pastor Bill and Pastor Mike and the other leadership of the church of taking two bodies and bringing them together as one. That vision was for us to combine resources and people in order to accomplish the work of the kingdom in this community and around the world. The vision was for God to do His work in His timing through His people to do His work in this community. The thing that I've most enjoyed about this experience together as we've journeyed through this first year as the Fountain was all the new people that I've gotten to know. It was an instant new family that we had, and it was really cool. And those relationships that have been developed there and people that I've gotten to know have just been a wonderful blessing to me throughout this year. That's been one of my favorite parts of this new leg of our journey, the new people God has put together for serving and growing and reaching out together. And if you've not got to know some new folks through this experience, I want to encourage you to step out of your comfort zone a little bit. Get over there and learn some of their names and grow. And you've got family members right here that you may not know that are such a blessing. And I'm just take this moment just as a shameless plug for life groups. If you're not involved in a life group, you're missing out on those opportunities to get plugged in and involved and get to know some new people. And I want to encourage you not to limit yourself to life groups where you know everybody. Find one that you don't know someone and get involved in those. It's a wonderful way to experience this and really be blessed by the new folks that God has brought together here in this place. So as we wind down to 2017 and look forward to the new calendar year, we're hopeful for what God has still got ahead for us because we're just getting started. We are just getting started. And as we are set to roll over the calendar to start a new year, we have some work to do. And just as we followed the vision that God had planted in the leadership of our churches for the merge of these two churches to become the Fountain, we will have we will need to seek God's face and His guidance and His vision for the upcoming year. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be unpacking that vision and setting some things into motion to begin to seek God and to do the work and to begin to work towards fulfilling and seeing God fulfill that vision in us. You're going to be hearing more about this over the next couple of weeks, but I want to ask you right now to begin to pray. To begin to pray and ask God to seek His face earnestly about how you're going to fit into this new vision, into the vision that God has for the Fountain for the coming months. What roles will you play? Ask God to reveal that to you. Ask God, what is my place here? Because you're not here just to fill a blue chair. You're not here just to have a check mark on the attendance roster. You're not here just to shake hands with people on Sunday morning. You're here for a reason. God has placed you here, and He has a role that He wants you to play in fulfilling the vision that He has for us here at the Fountain. What areas of service do you need to support? I want to say that again. What areas of service do you need to support? Because if Sunday morning is the only time you're involved in what's going on here, you're missing out on a big portion of what God wants for you here, because we're blessed through serving. The work that goes on here happens because people choose to sacrifice and to serve. And you have a part in that. So pray that God would show you what areas of service do you need to support. Where do you see yourself being most effectively used by God to accomplish His will and His kingdom in the coming year? Those are the things that I'm asking you to pray for and ask God to begin to reveal to you and begin to open your heart and your mind to see how you might fit in and mesh with this work that we're doing here. Where do I fit in? Where's my niche? Where is my part? That's what I want to ask you to begin to pray for. And as you do that, tonight we have a wonderful opportunity to begin that prayer and that time together praying. As we gather together tonight at 6 o'clock for a time of worship and prayer together as a family, I want to invite you, everyone, to come back and join us for that. We're going to meet down in the youth center. It's a little more intimate setting. We can kind of all kind of get a little more cozy. And we're going to have a time of prayer tonight. I want to invite you to come to that. It'll be a great opportunity for you to begin to seek God on these things. So all of this stuff, all of this, your role in the vision, all these things begin with God giving the vision. And I want to take just a look at the role of vision in our lives today and see what we can learn from Abraham and his experience following God's vision that he had given to him. And so we're going to start off in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. And we'll see in this passage and in this part of the story today, what I want to look at is how vision informs our direction. How when God grants a vision, it gives us a course to set in our lives. In Genesis chapter 12, we see the Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. This is Abraham. I'll interchange them throughout the day. God changes his name in the course of this story, but that doesn't really have any bearing on what we're talking about today. But Abraham had lived in the land of Ur, and his father and him and his family and the extended people that lived with them there, they had picked up from Ur and they had moved to Haran. And when they arrived in Haran, God showed up to Abraham and he gave him a vision. He imparted a vision to Abraham. And God, through this vision, made some pretty incredible promises to Abram. He revealed himself to Abram in a way we don't really know. We don't know how God revealed himself to Abram, whether it was from a vision or whether it was from a dream or whether it was from him showing up in an angel form or whatever. We don't know how that happened. But we do know that it's clear that Abram wasn't raised to know God. He wasn't raised in that way. In fact, we hear from his father, Terah, had actually worshipped the people, the gods of Ur. That was their idol worship, and they worshiped the moon and things like that. And so he wasn't raised to know who God was. And so God, as he always does, as it is in every case, God made the first step to reach out to man. See, Abram wasn't looking for God. God just showed up and said, "Hey, Abram, I want to introduce myself to you, and I got something pretty incredible for you. I want you to set out on this journey with me. As I cast this vision to you, I want you to follow me and obey me." God had made some pretty incredible requests of Abram and also some pretty amazing promises. You see, God showed up in Abram's life at 75 years old. And we'd already established earlier in chapter 11 of Genesis that Sarai was barren. She couldn't have kids. They're 75 years old at this point, at least Abram is. And God shows up and says, "Listen, I want you to do this. I want you to follow me. I'm going to ask you to pick up everything and leave this land that you know, leave the family that you know, and follow me to a place that I'm going to show you. I'm not going to tell you where you're going. You just got to follow me. You got to trust me." That's a pretty incredible request to make of Abram. And also some pretty amazing promises, because as we just said, Sarai and Abram didn't have any kids. They're 75 years old. In fact, Sarai's womb was not capable of bearing children. And he says, your ancestors are going to be a great nation. The people who come from you are going to be a great nation. There are going to be many, many. And that's a pretty incredible promise to be made to a man who doesn't have any kids at his age. God had given a vision to Abram, that would carry him to an unknown land far away and present him with a legacy that was pretty hard to believe. But that vision was what informed Abram's actions for the rest of his life. It directed him to leave one place and travel to another, one that he didn't know. He just knew that he was following God to get there. But it had directed him to do that. It had given him some action steps. You're going to need to uproot your family, and you're going to need to leave this place and follow me. So he had some direction. This vision that God had given him a compass bearing. This is the direction that you need to go. This is how you need to proceed from this point. God's vision had informed his direction at this point. It directed him to leave one place and go to another, and he was directed as he followed God as well. As he went through this journey, God continued to give him direction and give him a bearing in his life. He was provided for as he trusted God. He was protected and he was blessed as he sought God and kept the vision as his point of aim and his source of inspiration. That was what continued to drive Abram, was this vision that God had given him. God's vision for Abram informed his direction. The next thing I want to look at is how God's vision for Abram had driven his perseverance. The vision drives perseverance. See, a lot happened to Abram along the way. It would have been really easy for him to give up or get sidetracked. If you read the story, he leaves Herod, and he travels, and he eventually gets to where God promises him. He says, listen, this place where you are right here, this is where I'm going to give your inheritance, this area. And Abram's kind of looking around. He's like, well, God, you know, there's not really a whole lot of room here. There's already a whole lot of ites in the land, and there's a big long list of them, people that live here. And I'm not quite sure where, if you're going to give me a legacy and an inheritance and all these offspring, where we're going to fit in here, because there's a lot of people here. And then, if that's not bad enough, immediately upon arriving there, they're hit with famine. So he doesn't even get to establish himself there. He shows up, God says, this is it, and then the place goes into a severe drought, and he has to leave. So immediately, Abraham, if this was me and I'm traveling along, I'm following God to a place where I don't know where I'm going, and I show up there, and immediately the place is uninhabitable. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe this isn't what you really meant, God. When God's plan didn't seem to be coming along as Abram thought, it would have been easy to give up and return to Haran, to go back to his family and continue to worship the gods of his father and say, whatever that was, I must have had bad indigestion. I don't know. That's not really what I want to do. Not only that, when he reached the land of Canaan, the place where God said, to your offspring I will give this land, it was immediately hit with a famine. I'm sure it would have been tempting to turn around and return and say, you know, this place isn't really a good place to live. His nephew, Lot, his brother who had passed away, he kind of took his son in, and so he was kind of hanging out with him. But when Lot had gone along with him, Lot seemed to be getting into a whole lot of trouble. Time and time again, Lot was in trouble. He was either making bad decisions, or he was getting hooked up with the wrong people, or he was getting kidnapped by foreign kings. There was all this stuff going on. And it would have been easy, I think, for Abraham to get disappointed and have these setbacks distract him from their ultimate goal, which was that vision that God had placed before him. When God told Abram that this vision wasn't going to come along and be fully realized until 400 years later, I think it would have been very tempting to give up and say, well, that's not worth it. I'm not even going to get to see this myself. It's going to happen 400 years from now. When they arrived at the promised land, it was fully inhabited by several different people groups already. It would have been difficult to see how God would one day allow this land to belong to Abram's descendants. But we read an important passage in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. All of this is going on. God had made this incredible promise. He had asked for some hard stuff from Abram. Abram was hitting barriers and obstacles and things that were standing in his way all along the way. But Genesis 15, 6 says, Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him. God credited it to Abram as righteousness. You see, the vision that God had placed before Abram was what drove him in perseverance to persevere through all of those hardships, through all of those trials. He kept that vision in front of him, and he wasn't distracted by all these other things. He's like, I know all that's going on. This is hard. This doesn't make any sense. There's famine, lots in trouble. I keep giving my wife away as a concubine to these kings, and things just aren't going well for me. But there's this vision out there in front of me that drives me to persevere through all of this because I know what God's promised me. I've seen it clearly. I know the direction that I have to go in, and I'm not going to allow these things to distract me. I'm going to drive through these things with perseverance. Abram's perseverance was driven by his vision because he had something he was shooting for, something that God had put in front of him. He continued on in spite of all of the setbacks, in spite of all of the hardships, in spite of all of the troubles that had beset him along the way. He continued because God's vision for Abraham's life drove his perseverance. Next thing I want to look at is how vision for Abraham and for you and me, but vision is God's promise. Genesis chapter 15, verses 18 through 21, on that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants, this is a promise from God, to your descendants I give this land. Not I will give, but I give this land to your descendants. From the Wadi of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. The land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Raphites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, the Jebusites, and all those other parasites I give to you. Canaan. What do they call Canaan? Canaan is called the promised land, right? This was a promise of God. Now, Abram's standing here. This land is inhabited by all these people. But he knew that this was a promise of God. And that was what drove him to continue on to follow this vision. Abram took what God had said as the truth. Remember, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. God told him. I don't know how he told him, but God told him some way that this is what's going to happen. And he said, okay, I trust you, God. I believe you, God. I'm putting my faith in you, God. And because of that, God said, this is a righteous man. This is a righteous man. He believes my promises. There's a difference between a vision versus a dream. You put a dream out there in front of you. My dream is to one day live on hundreds and hundreds of acres in a little cabin on the side of a lake somewhere. But that's probably not God's vision for my life. That's probably just me dreaming, right? There's a difference between God's vision for our life and a dream. A vision is God's promise to us that he's placed out there before us. He says, this is down the road for you. This is going to happen. That's God's vision for us. That's God's vision for Abraham. It wasn't this pie in the sky and Abraham was sitting around one day in Haran and said, you know what I'd like to have? I'd like to have all this land between the Wadi of Egypt. I don't even know what that is, but I would like to have it because I've never been there. But I think that would be really cool. That's my dream. No, God had said, listen, this is my promise to you. This is what's going to happen. That vision was God's promise. Even though Abraham was told that this great thing wouldn't happen to him in his lifetime, he was told that his descendants would see this vision fulfilled. And he pressed on because he knew this was God's promise for him. You know, there was something about God's interaction with Abraham that caused him to believe God and take him by his word. I don't know what it was. I grew up in church. I grew up, my parents, even if they didn't go to church, they would drop me off at the nursery, you know. I was always at the church. From little bitty baby, I've always been at church, so I've always known God. I've always known about him. I've always known his promises. I've always learned at an early age to trust him. But Abram didn't know God. He did not have that experience. 5 years old, God shows up, and there was something about that interaction that Abraham said, this is legit. This is the real thing. God's promises, I can trust that. This God, which will eventually be called the God of Abraham, this God, I can trust him. I can take him at his word. And Abraham was convinced that God would come through with his end of the bargain, and his vision would be fulfilled because it was a promise of a faithful and trustworthy God. God's vision to Abraham was a promise of future events. So I want to take this story that we've seen here about Abraham and his vision that God had given him, and I want to kind of take the things that we've learned from that, and I want to place them on the fountain. What is vision's role at the fountain? What stock do we need to place in these next few weeks that we're going to be looking at, studying, praying over, seeking God's face, having God's vision for our church body cast by the leadership? As we look back on 2017 and where we are as a church, we can begin to see how God's vision that was placed before us only a short time ago is coming to fulfillment. We can see it around us. We see the pieces beginning to fall together. We are truly one church today. I really, truly feel that. We are one church. I'm so thankful to each one of you for choosing to join us on this wonderful, blessed, terrifying, uncertain, rocky, beautiful journey that we sat out on. And I'm thankful that God has placed that vision in your heart and you chose to stick with it. You chose to persevere. And you're here today not by accident, but because God placed you here. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be casting the vision for 2018. God has begun to show us what he has for us next. And we're very excited to begin this next leg of the journey. So how are we going to proceed with this? Well, the vision that will be cast over the next few weeks will need to inform our direction. Just as it did for Abraham, when he had that vision placed before him, he knew what his steps of action were going to be. He knew where to set his compass. He knew where he needed to go. It's going to do the same thing for us. This vision is going to inform our directions. The vision is going to inform the choices that we need to make about how we allocate resources here at our church. The vision is going to inform the direction of how ministries are started and how maybe there's some things that we need to move away from. Maybe some things we need to reevaluate and reconfigure. And some of those decisions are going to be hard decisions. Just as I imagine it was very difficult for Abram to pull up stakes from where he lived anew and move out into a place that he didn't know. But that vision that God had placed before him informed his actions and caused him to be sure about his direction. Maybe some difficult choices that we have to make about some ministries here at our church. But if we allow God's vision to inform those directions, then we'll be blessed as we follow him. There may be people that God will bring alongside us to help us accomplish what he has set before us. There may be some of you here today who need to step up to some new roles, who maybe need to step out of some of your comfort zone and take on some responsibilities that, you know, I'm not quite so sure about that, but God's vision is informing me and directing me that that's an area where I can serve, where I can step out of my comfort zone, where I can be used by him. We allow God's vision to inform our direction in that. Our leadership team will need to keep this vision squarely before us as we seek to guide this congregation into what God has ahead of us. And sometimes we have to make some tough choices in doing that. You know, a lot of times there's opportunities and people get something that they see somewhere else or things that they like about when another church does something, or maybe there's something that they think that we should be doing here or whatever, and they'll come to the leadership and they'll say, hey, this is something I think we ought to do. And they'll bring their picture of what the fountain should look like, and they'll say, here, this is what I think we should do. And it's very important for leadership because we've got over 100 different families here that we might have 100 different ways of doing something. So it's very important as the leadership of a church for us to keep our eyes squarely on God and have his picture of what the fountain is going to be and what the fountain should be and say, that's beautiful. I love that. I'm glad that's working from them. But that doesn't fit into our picture. This is where God's got us going. And sometimes that's difficult to make those decisions. But the vision of God will inform our direction as we move forward. God's vision for us here must drive our perseverance as well. Just as Abraham met up against hardships and trouble as he journeyed towards the promised land, it's inevitable that the fountain is going to run up against trouble and hardship as we press on towards whatever God's vision is for us. There's challenges. And as Abraham continued to follow God into what he had showed him, we too are going to face some difficult times as we follow God's vision for the fountain. And we must remember, just as Abraham did, that God will provide, that God will bless. And as long as we keep that vision out in front of us, as long as that's what we're headed towards, God will guide us. As long as that vision stays in front of us, God will protect us as we seek to follow what He has for us and what He wants us to do. And sometimes that's going to be difficult, but that vision is going to need to drive our perseverance as a church as we keep that out in front of us and don't get distracted by those other things that go on, but keep His vision and His plan before us. Finally, that vision is God's promise to us, His children. You know, those worship songs that we sang, a couple of them were some of my favorite ones. It's Your Breath in My Lungs. Oh, I love that song. It's just a beautiful song of worship and praise and thanksgiving to God who gives us the very breath that we breathe. He loves us as His children. And as a loving Father, He gives us promises that He wants to bless us and He wants to provide for us. He wants to protect us. He wants to give us the very best. He wants to give us a life that's abundant and full. So it's exciting to know that we get to join the Creator of the universe in His work here on the earth. Isn't that exciting? I mean, you can look at God's creation and think, man, what an incredible, beautiful place that our creative, loving God made for us. And that is incredible. And as an outdoorsman, that really holds a special place in my heart, God's creation and how He showed off when He made this universe. But then to even make it better, He says, hey, I want you to play a part in what I'm doing too. Because I love you and you're my child and I want you to be a part of this. And I've got some promises for you that I want to see fulfilled in your life. And when He sets that vision before us, His people, it's an invitation to us to embark on a fantastic journey with Him and share in His blessings along the way. As we trust His promises, He reveals Himself more and more to us along the way. As we go through those hardships, as we trust Him through those difficult times, and we see how He shows up in our life and He blesses us, and He protects us and He provides for us, we get to know more and more and more about who He really is. It's incredible. As we hold tight to His promises, He shows us how much He loves us and cares for us. As we follow His vision, we will be blessed. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 in the King James says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he." Where there's not a vision out there to drive us, where there's not something that we're shooting for, you've heard the term, if you shoot for nothing, you'll hit it every time. You know, if there's not a vision out there in front of us to shoot for, to aim for, to be our marker that we're headed towards, then we're going to perish. And the Message Bible says it this way. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. Here at the Fountain, God has cast a vision for us as we move forward into what's next for us as a church body, into what's next for us as we work in His kingdom. And instead of us stumbling over each other, when we place that vision squarely in front of us, when we attend to what He has revealed to us, we're going to be most blessed. Over the next few weeks, we want to invite you to join us in praying for God's vision for the Fountain. We'll be asking, Pastor Mike next week, I believe, we'll be asking you to join together in a fast, seeking God's will for our future. And tonight, we want to invite you to join us for a time of prayer for the coming year, for our people, for one another, for this vision to be fulfilled through us. As the vision is cast over the next couple of Sundays and through some meetings that we're having and things like that, I'm asking you today to make a commitment to attend these services with an expectant heart. God, what do you have for me? I'm excited about what you're going to do here. I'm excited about how you want to use us to impact our community. I'm excited about how you're going to use me to change the lives of others that you put into my path. I'm excited about being a part of this vision that you have cast, and I want to see how I get fit, how I can fit in, and come with an expectant heart. God, what is it? Come with your arms wide open. Come on, like the kid that comes down the stairs on Christmas morning just expecting there's going to be gifts there for me. I want you to ask you to seek God's will and ask him specifically how you will contribute to seeing this vision fulfilled here among us. You know, we talk about God's vision being a promise. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." You see, this vision God is casting for us as the fountain is a promise. And I want you to join in with me today in saying yes. Amen. So be it. That's what amen means. So be it. Let it be. How many Trekkies do we have in here? Jean-Luc Picard used to say, number one, make it so. Right? Anybody with me on that? No? Lost you there? A couple of you? Okay. He'd say, make it so, number one. And that's what we're saying here. Make it so, God, in my life and in the life of the fountain. Make it so, Lord. I want us to say yes and amen. In fact, I want us to do that today. Right here, right now. You want to come on up? I want us to say that. God is making a promise to us as the fountain. What do you say, fountain? Yes and amen. I want you to say that with me. God has made a promise to us. He's putting a vision before us. He's casting that in our hearts, and he's placing that before us, and he's showing us the direction to go. The fountain, what do we say to that? Yes and amen. God, thank you so much for placing a vision before us that can drive us to your will for our lives, that can drive us into your work that you have placed before us, that can cause us to be not distracted and pulled away by all of those things that are around us, but can drive us on into persevering through trouble and through hardship. And God, I thank you for your promises that for me, your son, are yes and amen. I thank you for your promises that for the fountain are yes and amen. And God, as we continue to look forward to see how you are going to use us, sometimes that means stepping out into a place unknown. And sometimes that means where you're just going to say, hey, you just got to trust me and follow me and go where I tell you to go. And as we trust you and we believe in your promises, you credit that to us as righteousness. And we step out in faith and we follow you into what you have for us. Lord, I'm excited about what you're going to do through the fountain over the coming year and the coming years as your vision is fulfilled in and through us. Thank you, Father.
Let's pray. Father God, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your love, which is unending and unconditional. And Father, may we, with the love that we've been loved with, love others the same way. Help us, Father, in our weakness to not put conditions on loving people. Father, to reach out when you've called, be obedient to your spirit when it calls us to do so. And let us do it with reckless abandon. Thank you for your unfailing, unending, reckless love. Father, we ask your blessing on now as you dismiss us. Bring us back together. Let us be faithful to what you've called us to as we step out these doors and be obedient. And then, Father, may we experience the blessing and favor out of obedience to your will. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We'll see y'all later.